Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
In some ways, a happy day, but only personally because I'm seeing Ron again, and I'm looking across at Bob Pompiani, and I'm launching a new adventure with Dr. Matthew Cole. But who cares about me? Those are just my personal feelings. This is actually a sad day, Bob and Ron, because the Penguins are out again. I mean, that was a hell of a game. It's hard to find people just to rip, although we will.
It was a hell of a series, Joe.
It was a hell
of a game.
Yeah, well, you could write a book. You could make a documentary on that series.
Absolutely.
You could. But first, how are you guys?
We're good.
I'm doing fine. You're nice to see you back from your vacation, Joe. You seem chipper. You look like you're bubbling with opinions.
Bubbling with opinions. Lots of opinions. I watched every game. I got in trouble on vacation because I watched, well, I don't know what it was, 3 and 4 maybe while I was on vacation. And
you have
to
do that.
My only point was I'm on vacation. Can I just watch? No, you have to come out with the – we were with our nephews, nieces, and everybody else. It's rude on vacation to watch a game. Ron, do you agree with that?
First of all, you know, I know you got to do vacations the way they're set up, but I want to be able to do what I want to do on vacation.
Yes.
I don't want to have to entertain somebody else.
Right.
And I don't want them to have to entertain me. I want to do what I want to do. That's what vacations are for.
That's what vacations are for, Bob. And I'm getting in trouble on vacation because I'm watching a hot... Now, granted, it kills a night. I'm unavailable for the night, but I thought everybody would be happy with that, too. They don't have to deal with me.
That's usually a plus.
Plus, I thought the guy, the people I was with would want to watch it. Penguins-Rangers, Game 3. Let's all watch it together. We'll have a party at the house. No, they didn't want to do that either.
Well, you watch it differently. Like, we all watch it differently compared to most people. They're not looking at every single face-off, every single icing call, every single player. So that does make it a little bit more difficult to get your attention. I get that.
Well, this stretches back years. It stretches back years. So we got a little place at Nemacolin before we were married, when we were first dating for a weekend. And I got in trouble because I tried to sneak in some sports watching.
She should have known what she was getting into.
That's what I said. I said, this is me. Like it or not.
Take the package or not.
Yes.
I don't find anything wrong with it.
Me neither.
I don't.
Well, first of all, let's get to the breaking story. How was your golf game?
It was very
That's
good.
That's all I care about. There's one other breaking story, too, but go ahead.
I saw our old friend Josh Miller.
How was that? Nice.
Oh, Jupiter, Florida.
Is he living in Pompeii?
That's one place where even Bob couldn't thrive is Jupiter. That's Tiger. And I'm not.
Oh, Tiger has his own island there, right?
He has his own island. That's right. And lots of other people have lots and lots of money there. The long and short of it is he took me to an unbelievable club where I played horrible golf and saw an alligator. I saw Josh's house, which was bigger than the club we played at. And I had the best lobster roll sandwich ever in a place that Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick go to, a little hole in the wall.
Wow,
in Jupiter.
Look at all this.
So I'm glowing today. It's after vacation elation.
See, Ron, what golf can do for you?
Did you only play once?
I played four times.
Four times.
One with two elderly German ladies, just me and them, and I learned.
Did they kick your ass?
They beat me, and I learned three swear words in German that all three of us would repeat after our bad shots. One of us would make a bad shot. I think there's a rule I can't say.
Can you say it in
swear
German?
Words.
Even if it's not according to the FCC here in English?
We had an instructional video that you can't say swear words in other languages
either.
Don't do it. Yeah, I won't.
Don't do it.
All right. That's enough about me.
There's one other breaking story.
Please, yes.
This was his debut last week.
How
right?
did it go?
It went really well, although Matt knew that that his indoctrination really doesn't begin until today when you show up. But we've had some interesting talks about his nickname.
Yes.
And Folesy was the one that you suggested. I don't think...
I don't like it.
I don't think he's real high on it.
No.
But now, let me set up the story.
Okay.
Here. We got a call last week saying, why are you calling him Folesy? He's no fool.
I didn't think of that.
Folesy.
Yeah.
So we had a suggestion for a nickname for Matt for your consideration from an outside source. Hit it, Matt. Shelty, I'm by myself. Did you get a chance to say hello to our new producer, Matt Cole, who has big shoes to fill, literally horseshoes to fill?
Yeah, I know. It was a little weird. I mean, not first time not talking to horse. And I told Matt, I mean, I give him 2 weeks in radio and he's going to have a nickname. If not, I'm going to come up with one for him.
Well, Starkey already has came up with one last week before he even started. Let me explain it to you. You know, we had horse. Okay. This kid, he's a little bit younger than horse. And what's a young horse is called a foal, right? So Starkey has already named him Folesy. So, and
really?
Foal rhymes with Cole. His last name is Cole. So he has become Folesy already. You don't think Starkey would waste time on that, do you?
No, I thought maybe you guys would go Colt.
Colt.
You
know? That's Ooh. Enough. Ooh, I might have to bounce that off of Starkey next week. And there's one further up, one follow-up to that, thanks to him.
Bob?
Yes. He was in Wednesday. Shelty was on Tuesday. We were talking about Colt. And he goes, how about Coltsy?
I was just going to say that.
How about Coltsy? And he likes it. He likes it.
You like
it.
That?
I like Coltsy? It better than Folesy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I never thought of the fool. Some people would hear that bad.
Right.
I didn't think
you have
of that.
To be careful saying that one.
But how about Shelty coming through in the clutch?
Yeah, that's big.
Colt?
It's Colt? Colt?
So in other words, this is Joe's offspring, right?
Yeah.
This
exactly.
Coltsy. Coltsy.
Which is where Foal came from. And then you add the little hockey twist, and we have Coltsy.
I thought Colin had a good one. He called him Matt King Cole.
Which is great, but too long. I can't every
Matt
time
King
I read.
Matt King Colt, said Larry Richard.
Now we're talking.
I like Coltsy. He likes Coltsy.
Right. So that could be.
And it's simple.
Matt,
Coltsy.
Matt King Colt could be his full name when necessary, when he's in trouble or something. Yeah. Matt King Colt, come over here. But when it's just us referring to him, it's Coltsy. For now.
Coltsy, I like it.
Let's do it.
We have all the time in the world.
And he pleasantly agrees.
We'll live
with
that.
Yeah.
Plus, it's a Cole. It figures in there, right?
Yes.
It has everything. Now, I don't know if it's going to work, but we have a lot of time. Assuming Ron and I don't get fired by the end of the week.
Or me, yeah.
Which at this point seems like a distinct possibility. But if we don't, we have time to experiment here.
We do. Let's not rush it.
Thank you, Coltsy.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah, I think it could work. It could work. In the meantime, and thank you for asking Shelty. That was tremendous. And he came through, just like his team, with no hits.
Oh, God.
Clearly, we're trying to avoid talking about the Penguins because, listen, that was painful, that series. So I'm going to start you guys with this question today. This question, and I'm hoping for a short answer, and then we can discuss. The story of this series was blank. Ron?
Penguins blowing leads in games 5, 6, and 7.
I'll say that plus injuries that contributed to what they were dealing with.
No, nope, you're only allowed to say one thing. You've already broken the rules of the game.
You said short. You didn't say how long or short.
You didn't limit. You said
did
short.
Did I? Just short.
You said
okay,
short.
So two things.
And he said it.
The story of this series was Jacob Trouba butchering Sidney Crosby.
Series turned.
The story of the series.
I would say another one that came very close to that. Erod's penalty in game 6 turned that game around totally too.
Did.
They could have won both of those games easily, and they didn't. You know, my way of looking at this is they had a zillion excuses. No goaltenders. You know, Sid gets hurt, no Dumoulin, Raquel's out. They still should have won the series. You know, they despite their excuses, they still should have won the series.
I agree. I do agree with that.
2 5-on-3s that did nothing.
Right.
I do agree with that. But it was an AHL goalie and an injured goalie versus the best goalie right. in the world. The Rangers quit in game four, and they were ready to quit in game five. They were going to go out quietly. And
Truba's hit.
Well, and Truba's hit born of the Rangers from the first minute of game one trying to take out Penguins with high hits and succeeding. They almost knocked Marino out of the series. They essentially knocked Raquel out of the series. He was a shell of himself last night. And then they went after Sid. And you can tell they were going after people because that was their only hope of winning, honestly.
Well, even in
game five.
Even in game five.
Gensel took an elbow early.
24 seconds into
24
the game.
They didn't call any of it, by the way.
No, Truba got called for a penalty.
Yeah, but I'm talking about there were some other hits in there that could have been right in front of the referee and no call.
And as far as I'm concerned, we're going to talk about a million things here today. After that, a lot of it is academic to me. And it's also born of a league that rewards players and wants to help players like Truba more than they do their own stars. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what your guys' take on that hit was at the time. These guys know what they're doing. And if I'm skating with a chicken wing out to my right, there's a pretty good chance somebody could get clipped by my wing, so to speak.
And that's his calling card. He's done it repeatedly the same
way.
Look
what he did to McKinnon.
Elbow to
the... And who was the other?
Chicago Blackhawk.
Kiera, something like that. He knocked out two in consecutive games.
That changed everything.
It's funny, Joe. There was so much different perspective on that hit. I had Doc Emrick on last week.
Yeah.
Didn't think it was a dirty hit. Did not think it was a dirty
hit. The one by Truba on Crosby?
The one on Truba on Crosby. Said the way it went in, the way it happened, his stick got into Crosby's legs. He didn't think it was a dirty hit. And, I mean, I value Doc's opinion. I'm not saying that I don't disagree with it. But a lot of people thought it was a brutal hit. Other people thought it was a clean hit.
And that's the problem. In a nutshell, the fact that that became a debate. Then I'm watching either later that night or the next night, Luka Doncic. Maybe the best basketball player. He didn't get kicked in the Doncics this time. He got elbowed in the head is what happened. So what happens in the NBA, not just for stars, but for everybody, which last I checked includes your stars, they stop the game right then. They go over to the monitor. Somebody got clipped in the head. Can't have that in our game. Whether it was intentional or not, let's look at it. Let's decide if it's a flagrant one or a flagrant two. If it's a two, you're out of the game. You're out of the game.
And it doesn't matter who you are. That's the thing you're
doing. Draymond Green got kicked out of a game that could have decided a series.
Sure, and he deserved it.
He got kicked out of a game. In the NHL.
The NFL did the same thing.
They don't have a damn
with their headshots.
And then the hypocrisy of it all, they have a rule that if you lose your helmet,
right,
you either got to put it on or go to the bench.
Right.
They don't care about players. They say they care. They don't care about players.
Exactly. They really don't. No, and it hurts the game. And I think it decided a series. And there's a lot more to talk about. Should they have won anyway? Probably, although they were playing with an AHL goalie for a lot of the series. And a goalie, I think a goalie at 80% last night. So you want to talk about protecting leads? Under Sully, the Penguins have been great at protecting leads.
33-1-2 this year.
Especially after two periods. But even in general. So then you ask, well, they lost two leads after the second period last year against the Islanders at home, which they never do under Sully. And then they lost all kinds of leads this year. Why would that be? To me, the first thing is the goaltending. Jarry was awful last year, and they had Domingue and a compromised Jarry last night, even though I thought he played well.
I thought Jarry did a hell of a job, considering.
Under the circumstances.
Under the circumstances, yes. If he'd have played all year and that was his game seven, you said not good enough, blame him. Not a month, game seven, hardly any practice. And I wasn't there, so I didn't get to see it. But they said he limped into the interview room with ice on his foot.
Yep.
I mean, I give the kid all the credit in the world. You know, how many goals? I didn't like the first goal. Didn't really like the last goal. The one went in off Matheson's skate. He scored more than anybody for the Rangers almost.
I know.
Off of his skate.
Yeah.
You can't blame Jarry for that one. So I thought he played a really strong game, considering the circumstances.
It makes me wonder, should they have gone with him in game six? He played in game seven. I got to believe he was similar in terms of wherever percentage he was.
I know,
and if that's the case, you knew what you were getting with Domingue. Why wouldn't you put him in game six at home with a chance to
close
it out?
But we're putting a big qualifier on that. Like, I admire the kid for going in there last night at 80%, but he did wind up the game with a lower save percentage than Domingue had in any game.
I understand that.
It's not like he was great last night.
No, but I think, to Ron's point, Matheson puts an own goal in. Okay. If you look at the shot by Zibanejad, that was as good a shot as anyone is going to make. No goaltender will make that save.
That was a really
the third
fun.
Goal?
Yes.
The third one.
I don't know about that.
They
I don't know about
did
that.
Did you see where it
he
went?
Was, he was down. He wasn't
he was
out.
Way in
he
his
wasn't
crease.
Out aggressive.
Was
yeah,
way
because
in
it was a turnover. Because John Marino twice
and
fanned.
You're allowed to adjust to a turnover. I'm not saying it was a good shot. Yeah, but you can make a good save. And then, okay, so I'll give you that one. His style sometimes is to stay back in his net and not let in anything low. So they beat him with a great shot. Great. Then don't let in a low shot to the short side from the circle in overtime, whether
that.
You see it or
like,
not. Or
I
not.
Didn't, I didn't like the
I get
he,
that.
He
but what my def- point is, if you're going to go
was
with your best.
Deflected going in.
Yeah, it was. I agree with that. But what I'm saying to you is if he was close enough in game six, I just wonder if they even thought that would be a good time to do it. And if he doesn't do well, he'll have a game under his belt going into game seven.
I'm not sure that DeSmith wasn't the best option for the series, period.
It was. He was playing well, too, in that first game.
Yep. Given Jari State. Out. It was just – it's a series that if I told you what would happen at the beginning, that they would go with Louis Domingue and that Sid would miss games, you'd say Rangers
and
five.
We haven't even talked about Brian Dumoulin.
No Dumoulin?
Dumoulin was a critical loss the entire series.
What about Raquel?
And he was playing pretty well going into the playoffs.
So this is why when people say they're excuses, yeah, maybe, but they're also
but
reality.
You still should have won the games,
but
Bob.
I understand
you
that.
You can't blow
But when
leagues.
You analyze this series, you have to put that in as a reason, and it's a legitimate reason.
It's the number one reason, in my opinion, they lost is because Trouba went headhunting and found ahead of the best player in the world. That's one. Then we can talk about everything else. Do you agree or disagree?
No, it did. It changed the series. But you can't blow leads. You can't take the penalty that Erod took. You can't have the turnover that McGinn had in overtime last. That should have been a penalty shot. Might have been better off.
I would have taken
DeAndre
Miller in a penalty shot.
I don't know what a penalty shot is. If you tackle a guy going in
maybe he
on should've. A breakaway.
Maybe
I was
he
just
did.
Hoping.
He did.
When he pointed.
He did break away.
I thought, we got a penalty shot. That's the best thing that could happen because I got to believe Jari would make that save.
On a defense.
And it was
a
horrible giveaway at a real bad time. You know, it just.
They had the series won, and they knocked out the best player in the series and maybe the best player in the playoffs, McDavid notwithstanding. Sid would have as many points as him, maybe.
There's also mentioned Carter Verhaeghe. He's really good right now. He's been as good as any player in the game.
Did you see the show McDavid has put on in these playoffs?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable what he has done.
But Sid would have as many points as him, very likely.
He was right there.
Sid was,
and nobody has more goals than
Gensel. Player.
But yes, you're right. And his impact on the game was undeniable.
They were ready to die out quietly. Their coach ripped them for basically quitting in game four.
Called them soft.
Didn't hear a peep from them in game five until Crosby got hit in the head.
They're soft.
Your thoughts. 412-928-9370. It feels like a league that wants to make things easier for the Jacob Troubas of the world than it does for the Sidney Crosbys. That's what it feels like to me, and it's such a stark example when you watch an NBA game and anybody gets hit in the head, they literally stop the game and go right to review what happened on that play. But there are many other things that happened in this series. Let's talk about that. 412-928-9370. Colsey at the controls here. Bob Pompiani.
I like it.
Yeah, I think it's going to work. It feels right, doesn't it, Bob? Have you said it yet?
Colsey.
Yeah,
yes.
Say hi to Colsey.
I like the name, and I'm glad it's going to stick.
Could you say hi, Colsey?
Hello, Colsey.
Hello, Bob.
You see, that worked.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We have a disagreement in the studio here on Evgeny Malkin's game last night. I've long maintained that Malkin is often unfairly criticized and singled out for criticism, and that people look for reasons to rip him. Now, last night, was he visible offensively? No, he was not. He was not visible offensively.
He attempted one shot.
Yep. He's playing with Raquel, or the shell of Raquel. And somebody named Kasperi Kapanen. Anybody ever heard of him? Or Heinen, who, yes, had a goal, but I wouldn't say was overly visible himself. But here's the deal. Here's my opinion. This guy gets ripped when he plays high-risk hockey, and he gets ripped when he plays no-risk hockey, which you could tell Malkin's mindset last night was to play a perfect defensive game, I think. And lo and behold, I come across this. That's what I thought as I was thinking about the show today. Then I see Chris Sadamski's analytics story in the Trib today. And this is what he said. While the line of Raquel, Malkin, and Kapanen could get criticized for lacking to create much offensively, it was airtight in its own end. The unit, in fact, listen to this, Bob. You're perked up, I can tell, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
According to Natural Stat Trick, defensively had a, quote, perfect game together. They did not allow an attempted shot or scoring chance in 10 minutes and 4 seconds of ice time. Did not allow an attempted shot. So I think Gino went into that game saying, I'm not going to blank this up. I'm going to play a great defensive hockey game. And I think he did. And I think he was biding his time, much as he did in Game 6.
So let me ask you this.
What a great goal that was,
yeah,
by the way.
Because he deflected a puck at the blue line.
Right.
He, like, let the game come
against
to him.
Against Trouba, of all people, which was great to see.
And who's to say he wouldn't have scored the winner last night? I think he played a great defensive game last night. He gets ripped when he's high risk, ripped when he's no risk.
I will agree that playing with those two is a handicap right now.
Yes, it is.
There's no question. And when he was up on the top line with Crosby out, you can tell the difference. But I'll also say, if you're going to use these metrics and say, well, they played a great defensive game, okay, well, then look at New York's metrics against their line. They must have played a very good defensive game too, because there was nothing from that line that I saw, and I expected some action offensively.
Well,
so to me, you're neutralizing one of your best players if that's how that's going.
When Kapanen is literally fanning on shots, that's problematic. I think they carried the play and had chances, but if the guys you're playing with literally can't shoot the puck, like Kapanen couldn't shoot the puck, then that's problematic, Ron.
Yeah, it is. I'm not going to say that he played with great line mates last night. I just expect more in a Game 7. I expect more than one shot on net. And I know what you're saying, you know, about the defensive effort and high risk versus low risk. This is supposedly one of the best players in the world, and I didn't see him last night. I didn't even notice him on the ice. Now, you want to blame that on Kapanen and Raquel? That's certainly fair. I just expected a little more last night.
What about the idea of playing a great defensive game?
Well, that's not what I'm paying him $9 million or whatever it is for. I'm paying him to score goals, get points.
So what if he decides to come out of his defensive mindset and take some risks?
Maybe it would have worked.
Like Sid's risky pass that sent the other team in for a shorthanded
breakaway.
That was
not a good play by
Sid.
Yeah,
and he could thank Jari for the bailout there.
So I don't know. I'm sticking to my opinion there. Yeah, I'd like to see him score. Maybe game one he wasn't overly visible until he scored the game winner. You know what I mean?
And that's correct. He wasn't until then.
They win that game like they should have. And we're going to get to this topic right now, like they should have without the play, Marino, Pettersson, the idiotic rule, and then the goal. They were playing a great defensive third period. They go on to win like they should have. I'd be praising him to the high heavens, Malkin, for what that line did.
See, the difference for me, you know, the first game, he tried 11 shots.
Yeah.
He had 11 shots. Well, I know it's triple overtime.
Triple overtime, right.
6 shots on goal, 4 blocked and missed one. Last night, the only shot he attempted, he got on net. That was it.
I know. But he didn't blank it up. He played watch what he did last night. He was dumping pucks in. He was making smart plays every time. People want to dummy him down to the point where, all right, you say he becomes that. Well, okay.
I expect more from him, period.
You can break it down all you want. I expect more from him.
I want him to be a force offensively. And maybe not to the degree that he was when he was playing with Guentzel and Rust.
Would he have been a force offensively with Rust and Guentzel? If you had switched him and Sid, what would Sid's game have been like with Raquel and Kapanen?
I get it. I understand. You're dealing with a guy who's coming off some sort of head injury and he hasn't played and he looked
tentative.
I'm just
asking, what would have happened if you switched their line mates?
Probably the same.
That's what I'm saying.
I understand that. But I also want to see, you know, we saw an individual play at the end of game 6. He made it. I was hoping one of those would erupt, where he can do something somewhere that he would go in and score a goal.
He might have. How many turnovers did he have, Ron? Do you have giveaways over there?
Last night?
Yes.
Malkin had none. His only stats, 1 shot, 1 hit. That was it. 6-4 on faceoffs, clean across
one hit,
the board.
1 hit, 1 shot.
No giveaways.
All right.
Who led the team in giveaways? Anybody?
There was only one they call.
What?
I mean,
they called a million in game 1. Who's keeping stats there?
Giveaway, Bob. Raquel, 1. That is the only giveaway.
Well, see, that's wrong.
See, it's ridiculous.
How many did
that's
the Rangers wrong. Have?
What would you consider what John Marino
the Rangers
did? In,
right.
in, what was that? That's a turnover.
They gave,
well,
right?
How about you know, McGinn at the end?
Yeah, that's a turn the puck over
the
in a critical situation resulting in a penalty.
For the Rangers, 4.
Well, that's wrong.
The same people who in game 1 credited the Rangers with 75
See, this
giveaways.
Is why metrics drive me nuts, because it's very much subjective based on official scorers and people in the
Yes, some of it is.
It is hilarious. I'm looking at this. Giveaways that first game, triple overtime, I get it, 75-45.
Right.
Last night it was 4-1.
Those people should be fired immediately. Would you agree?
Yeah, and that's why I mean, you can't have – I could cite 2 of them right off the top of my head that happened, and they – we're guilty of 1. That doesn't make sense.
1 giveaway. But I am sticking with my opinion, as I imagine you 2 are, with Gino, and that gets us to the play. Let's talk about this next. I think this is the most talked about play from the game, was the Pettersson going to the bench to get his helmet. Did Sully know the rule? Did Pettersson know the rule? And what do we make of how it all played out? We'll talk about that next. Get to your calls. If I ask you the question out there, the story of this series was blank, what would your answer be? 412-928-9370. It's Cook and Joe and Bob. I would argue the most talked about play from listening, reading, all of that, social media scouring from last night is the Marcus Pettersson play. So let's start with the rule itself. Ron, I think this might be the single most ridiculous rule in all of sports. Somebody sat
There's
in a
lot of those out there.
Somebody sat in a boardroom and said, in order, you know, we got to at least look like we're protecting people's heads. Never mind that somebody can chicken wing the best player in the league or one of the best and put him out for a series, and we won't even look at that. And said, if your helmet pops off, you can either retrieve it on the ice, which would be a hell of a feat, with a game moving that fast with a pair of hockey gloves on to go and put a helmet back on right away and make sure that it's on.
You don't have to buckle it though.
Yeah, I know, but still.
Still. That's a hard thing to do.
Or you have to skate to the bench or you get a minor penalty. Somebody in that boardroom didn't raise their hand and say, well, wait a second here. So that leaves open the possibility that someone could just rip off your helmet at a key point in the game and that could decide the game. Anybody in here having a thought on that? And I'm sure the answer would have been, well, the refs need to call that. Well, what if they don't? And that's the scenario that we saw. I know it's not an excuse. I just want to hear your opinion on the rule. It's a terrible rule.
It's a terrible rule. Yeah, I mean, you know, Sullivan acted like he didn't know the rule, which I can't believe. He said he's got to skate off. He doesn't have to skate off. But I saw what happened behind the net. I didn't see where his helmet ended up. Was it his feet? Was it 5 feet away?
It was about 10 feet away.
That's a long way to go to pick it up, put it on. And get back
and make sure it gets on.
You know, now, Letang got onto the ice for him, but they just didn't have their coverage. And Zibanejad was left wide open. That was a hell of a shot. But, you know, it contributed to the defeat. It is a stupid rule. And I believe Sullivan said, I think it stinks.
Stinks, right?
Stinks.
I agree. It stinks. And it's to your point, Joe. This image of safety, this perception of safety is just that. They don't mean it. I give the NFL credit because they did mean it, and they at least tried to make people aware of it so that you change your game. In the NHL, they're not changing anything. There was a headshot in the Dallas game on Klingberg that was terrible.
Right.
There were headshots all over. Nothing's being done about it, and the people who are supposed to make these decisions are also part of what's called the player safety department. Well, Who are we trying to be safe with here? Not the star players who are being victims and nothing's happening.
So if you're the Flames, and I would never advocate this, and I would hate to see it. That's what I'm arguing here, is that it should be taken out of the game regardless of intent. But if you're the Flames, why in the world wouldn't you take out McDavid? Take your shots at him the way the Rangers
did this
catch whole
him.
Series.
He's too fast.
Well, that's a good point, yeah.
No, but you're right. I mean, if it's wide open, if this is going to be the precedent, then guess what? Expect it if you're Edmonton.
Right.
Because it's going to happen.
And I know Gino got all kinds of crap for what he did. I'm expecting guys to, if I'm a star in the league right now, I'm protecting myself. And the first way I'm doing it is with a cross check to your teeth.
But here's the thing.
And then come for my head again.
Yeah, if they're serious about that rule about your head gear coming off, just stop the play then, if that's the case. You know, and if you have to go and review it, that
exactly.
Someone deliberately took your head off, or if you did it purposely, there's a penalty potentially on the line here.
That's what I was going to ask, Ron.
I don't want more replays.
No.
Reviews.
No replay, but if the helmet pops off in the middle of a play, don't they do that? Do they do that in football? What's the rule in football?
You have to get off the field for one play.
But don't they blow the whistle?
Yeah, but I think they blow it dead, don't they?
The helmet comes off during a play.
Either way, in hockey, that would be the antidote for this.
Just stop it.
Stop play.
And then if you have to look at it to make sure the guy didn't take it off on purpose, you go and do that.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, but that's the other side about that is, though, what if there's a massive flurry in front? What's to stop me from popping my own helmet
Same thing
off?
As well, popping the net off the moorings.
Yeah,
people
exactly.
do that off.
Exactly.
Then you got to determine as an official whether they did it.
It's a stupid rule. It just is a stupid rule. They should just let them play on.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm sure players would tell you that.
Right.
I'll take my chances.
Will exactly tell you that. And, you know, they used to not wear helmets. They didn't wear helmets for decades.
Goalies never wore helmets.
Goalies didn't wear them. And, I mean, I understand you want to be safe as you can, but let them play.
When's the last time somebody got injured from, well, they would argue because he has to get off the ice that nobody gets injured without a helmet on. Come on.
Yeah.
It's to protect their image that they're actually trying to do something about headshots.
But
that was still avoidable. The goal, if John Marino, and they can get the puck out of harm's way.
I know,
and they
but he's discombobulated there, and you're also, I know it was a good shot, but if you're somewhat standing up and you move 6 inches out of your crease or to the edge of your crease even, it's a shot that hits you, I think. But here's my other question.
Didn't Zibanejad just take that series over? Game 6 and 7.
Once Crosby got out of the game.
And he's the guy he was matched
right.
up against.
Crosby
he had done
made
nothing
him,
those first five games and then took that, the series over.
He should thank Trouba for that. He's the MVP of the series for the Rangers. Here's my other question, Bob. Did Pettersson make the right play? by going to the bench, or should he have just played and either taken a penalty?
No. I think he did the right thing, except he cost some precious time by looking at the official, putting his hands up. Well,
that's a pretty big thing, though.
Begging for the call.
That's a bad play.
That's a bad play. But he was right. If he'd got up and gone right to the bench, I think that would have been the right play.
I think he should have stayed on the ice. You?
I would have stayed on the ice, and I would have,
taken a penalty against that team with a power play?
Yeah, but I also don't think they're going to – they may not call that. If they call that
penalty,
I'd
be – essentially giving them a power play by leaving the ice.
I don't know. I just think it's a dumb
plus
rule.
They would,
I think that should be changed in the offseason. It probably will be.
Well, what about making it reviewable?
I would review it, sure. The people in Toronto have quick access. They reviewed that goal by Danton Heinen in less than 30 seconds. Play went on. They blew the horn. They knew it was a goal then. So they could do this stuff pretty fast. They have 19,000 monitors in Toronto.
Unbelievable that it happened to the Penguins. That happened to the Penguins.
Yeah, I mean, of all things.
And I thought Marino played his ass off in this series. He did. He made some mistakes. He made two of them last night.
I thought Pettersson was pretty good, too.
So did I. Thought he competed as well.
The teacher's Pettersson.
I also think, you talk about, I mean, we talked about it earlier, but to me, the more I think about it, when you get 5-on-3 twice in elimination games where you have them on the ropes, and your team looks at it like a practice.
Yeah.
You're just moving around. 7 seconds of 5-on-3, they got three shots.
Yeah.
And none of them high quality shots either. Just
astounding that they
all
won't
that
shoot
talent.
More on that. It really is. Well, we talked about the defense, and I really do think that Pettersson, Marino, Rue Weedle, they all had their mistakes. They did, but I thought they competed hard and mostly played well. And I think that they were really, really hurt by the loss of Dumoulin.
Dumoulin, just the trickle-down effect is very, very apparent.
And maybe Dumoulin isn't the player he was during the cup runs. Okay. It's hard for me to believe, though, that a guy who leads a really good team in plus-minus during the regular season, an old-school stat at plus 24, it's hard to be plus 24 on a good team when you're going against the other team's best players all the time and not be a good player. He's still a good player, and he's hugely important because when he leaves, it's Matheson and Letang, and that, to me, affects Letang a lot.
And they basically played with four defensemen last night. Ruido only played 11 minutes. He only played 9-something in the game 6.
Yeah.
And last night, and Friedman played... where is he? Seven and a half minutes last night. You know, they had like Matheson was on the ice for 25, Marino for 27. I'm not even afraid to even look at Letang, 29. They basically played with four defensemen.
Yep, they did. And I think the Dumoulin injury wasn't talked about a lot.
No.
And had a profound effect on him.
I wonder we'll get to words this week about surgeries. I wonder what happened to him. Because
he never
skated again. I think he finished game one. I think he finished it.
Man, there's a lot of decisions moving ahead. We're going to get to Bob has a showdown at noon because there was a lot of other things going on. And then we're going to get to the future after that. But in the meantime, I have another question for you and would love for you to weigh in at 412-928-9370, 928-9370, on anything that we've talked about with this series, whether it's Jari's performance, whether it's the Pettersson play and rule, or simply an answer to this question, the story of the series was blank. You fill it in, 928-9370. And up next, the next question is, did the Rangers get lucky here? And I have an incredible stat on high danger scoring chances in this series. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.